Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cast Tech graduate, Michael Van Tol.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And I am here today in office for the Michael Van Tol Show. I am Henrietta Ivy, the political analyst for the Sunday Morning Team. I am sitting in as co-host for Michael this morning because he's out. He's very busy this morning. And myself and the Sunday Morning Team, we're going to give you the best show today, and we're going to make Michael very, very proud. I want to start with introducing the Sunday Morning Team. Going down the list, we have Kimberly Batchelor Davis. She is an author, podcaster, speaker, mom, and community activist. Good morning, Kimberly, if you're on with us right now. Hi, Kimberly, can you hear me? Kim, if you can hear me, let me know. Also, we have with the Sunday Morning Team, we have our songstress and evangelist, Christy Laster. We also have on the Sunday Morning Team with us, Bishop Kathy. And then we're going to have our guest caller this morning, Mr. Reverend Randall Smith. If you guys can hear me, please chime in. I see some callers, but I'm not able to hear anyone at the moment. So if you can hear me or send me a text message to let me know that you can hear me or not hear me so I can get this technical issue resolved. Because I'm not able to hear anybody, and I don't know if you guys can actually hear me. So let me know if you can hear me, then I can go in and try to find out why I'm not able to hear you on the microphone this morning. So I'm just waiting for our team to join us. In the meantime, I want to talk a little bit about some things that's going on in the city of Detroit. Take it off of mute. Okay, Michael. Can you hear me now?
Henrietta.
Can y'all hear me?
I can hear you, Bishop.
Well, I can't hear y'all. You're the first voice I heard. God bless you this morning.
God bless
Mike,
you.
Mike,
it's good to be here.
Yeah, Mike don't want me. She don't want me to hear his voice.
Uh-oh. He's doing something. He said for 3 weeks. Henrietta saying she's still not able to hear us.
Oh, so he's not. So we're doing it this morning?
Yeah, we're doing it with Henrietta, but Henrietta was supposed to be leading it.
Well, hey, Sister Henrietta.
But I don't think she can hear us. She just said she can't hear us.
Okay, so it's just you and I on.
Yeah, but I don't know if we're actually on the show, because I haven't heard anything from the show since it first started.
My Lord, so we just...
I don't know.
We got to hold it down the best way we can.
Yes, we can.
Well, hello, Detroit.
Go ahead and say Kevin.
I know. Hello, Detroit. You know that song they used to, when that was, what that, Sammy Davis Jr.? Hello, Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We're going to shout him out for that. I don't want them to get me, man, saying the plagiarism, saying I claimed it. It's, I do not own rights to Hello, Detroit.
There we go.
God bless Detroit. God bless everyone that's listening and tuning in. God bless the Michael Van Tol Blog Talk Radio Show. It's
Amen.
Always a blessing.
Amen.
God bless
Absolutely.
You. God bless you. God bless you for
And God bless you for my brother.
I know, right? So what do you have what do you have planned for the city today?
So today my sons are going down to the Pistons for open practice today. They're going to have a good day. And I have to get ready for my week, so that goes into planning and getting ready for new shows, because it's October, it's a new month, and we're still talking mental wellness and mental health, because it's, you know, it's very, very important, as we see out in the community, out and about, there's a lot of angry people not doing well.
Yes. If I don't know, let's subject that today. Let's subject that there. What you got going on with mental health? Mental health is an issue. It's a very important issue. In fact, I have a program that that I put together titled Suicide Prevention, Rehabilitation, Treatment, Therapy. It attacks and deals with those individuals that have mental health issues. This is how important it is to discuss mental health. Let me ask you, what does cancer and mental health have in common?
It attacks the body. Amen. It attacks the body. And cancer, the way cancer works, cancer starts out as something very small. This is a great analogy, Chaplain.
Yeah.
It starts out very small. It goes into your body. It hides out. When it finds a nice place that it can grow and develop, it multiplies.
Yes.
And the same thing happens in our mind. Something small will happen in our life.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that some of the things that happen to us in life, that they're small, that they're insignificant, because they're not, because it's trauma to the body. Cancer is trauma to the body. Mental health is trauma to the body. But something small will happen in the significance of life, and it will get into your mind, and it will work its way around until it finds a place that it can settle down, and then it will multiply. And you will begin to see other things similar to that, which will pull your mental health down. One bad thing happens to you, all of a sudden you start expecting more bad things to happen to you. And you get to a point where you are so depressed, so sad, so worn down that you don't have anything else to give, that you come to the conclusion you just need to end your life and make the suffering stop.
I love that. I love that. Here's the thing. I was asked that question when I was discussing my program at one time, and I made the simplicity of it was like an equation. The commonality that I have found that is within mental health and cancer is that they were both, they both are treatable, but yet not curable. So I think that a lot of times, one of the main things that we should focus in on is what level of cancer or per se mental health are you in? What category are you in? Are you in the fact that it is just untreatable, or are you in it because you've been diagnosed with something and it becomes a money issue? See, a lot of things becomes a money issue too. Some people could be misdiagnosed with mental illnesses. But because of the economical benefits of it, people will go along with it, even so with cancer. So I think that a focus in there on that is they're both designed, they're both created, they're both here, and they both could be treated, but yet not cured. So we ask ourselves, are you being cured from your mental issues? You see?
And that's a great question.
Yes, are you actually being cured from your mental issues?
Good morning, everybody. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Good morning. Hallelujah, Henrietta.
I am so sorry. Listen, I had to go live. I had everything set up. to go form from the format that we had for the show, but for some reason my laptop is not bringing in any sound. I don't know if the microphone is something going on with the mic, but I'm going live with the show, so I want to let everybody know I'm here. I can still see everybody on the board, but we're just going to do the show live, as we always do, but I'm going to join in with you guys from this end of the from this end. So good morning, everybody, and thank you. I joined in on a conversation, and can you kind of catch me up to what this topic was about? And then I'm going to circle back around and introduce everybody if that hasn't been done already, and then we're going to get into some topics and news and weather of the show. So what was the topic? I heard something about mental health. So what brought this conversation about?
Go ahead, Kathleen. You introduce it.
All right, well, God bless you, Sister Henry and Irene. And I appreciate you bringing us aboard, and we can hear you now. but we were talking about the comparison, the position of your mental illness. Are you in a position, are you in mental health, have you been classified with a mental illness based on the economical benefit, or are you classified in mental health based on the actual mental issue that you might in fact have? Because mental health is treatable, but it's not curable. You can't cure yourself from that. This is cancer. You can treat cancer, but you can't cure yourself. There's no cure for cancer. People say, well, it relapses and it goes into hiding, but there's a possibility that it's still there. Is just lying dormant somewhere. So me and the sister was just touching base, making the comparisons to what she does when it talks about, when she's discussing mental health versus my suicide prevention, rehabilitation, treatment, therapy program that I have. So that's pretty much the summation of it. So I guess you can formulate, bring us a boom right now.
Okay, you know what? Thank you so much for jumping in and, you know, bringing up the topic of mental health. As you stated, it is something that needs to be talked about. We need to have more conversation around it, and we need to definitely find more solutions and research and funding for the people who are dealing with this. There are a lot of families dealing with mental issues or dealing with family members with mental issues, which brings about stress and a whole lot of other things when you're dealing with an individual or individuals who are experiencing these breakdowns. So thank you so much for you, both of you, for carrying me this morning, because I tell you, it's been a crazy morning. I got here, I got all set up, I have my coffee next to me, and I'm like, okay, I see everybody on the board, and I'm like, I'm ready to go. Then boom, no sound. So I said, okay, Michael, what do I do? He said, hey, if you can't get in this way, just go live. So I'm live with you guys. And so everybody, so let me just go in and say, introducing the Sunday morning team. We have with us right now, if most of you have been listening to, is our amazing podcaster, speaker, activist, author, Miss Kimberly Batchelor Davis. We also have with us this morning our inspirational Kathy, Bishop Kathy. And I do see, I think I have Christy Laster, our songstress and evangelist, on the line with us as well.
Bless you.
So I'm going to start with you, Ms. Kimberly Batchelor Davis. Introduce yourself to to Detroit right now.
Good morning, Henrietta. Good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team, and good morning, Detroit. Many of you know me as an author, podcaster, community advocate, and I am a servant leader.
Awesome. Bishop Kathy, you're up next.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you to Detroit. God bless you. Shout out to Mike. Shout out to a missionary. Shout out to the entire team. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you all.
Amen.
And if we got Christy Laster online, please, Christy, go ahead and introduce yourself.
I wish I knew how to do a voiceover, because I would do her voice.
That would be amazing.
I would do
Christy Laster, are you online? Yeah. She has an amazing voice. It's just so comforting, and it is so warm. It's like you can put yourself, she can put you to sleep by just talking to you, like, and not in a boring way, but in such a loving, caring, warm kind of a way. She has an amazing voice for sure. And so I do have a caller online with the number ending in 7940. Please introduce yourself.
This is Pastor Smith, your brother, the other Sunday morning team member.
Good morning, Randall. Thank you for joining us this morning. I apologize for the delay in time. It's just that I had everything set up to go in. I was having a little bit of technical issues, and so we are ready.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, Randall Smith, for joining us this morning. We will circle back around to you this morning. So the Michael Van Tool Show is brought to you by Michigan Ocean Strategies Group. It is also brought to you today by the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, also Benjamin Brothers Realty, and a few other sponsors that are now sponsoring the Michigan Ocean Strategy Group and the Michael Van Tool Show. Just wanted to make sure we gave a shout out to our sponsors. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about topics of the news this morning. Kimberly Bachelor Davis is going to give us some amazing weather this week, I hope. And we're going to get into the Sunday morning team and talk about some things that, hey, what's going on in our lives and some things that we can help our community grow with. So the morning news topic right now, what's going on, what's the hot topic now, is called ShotSpotter. ShotSpotter is a technical technology used to spot gunfire in neighborhoods. City council members did bring up a vote to try to figure out where this money was going to come from to fund ShotSpotter. Now, I had the opportunity to go to one of the meetings this week to voice my opinion about it. And what I think is ShotSpotter is a good technology for spotting gun violence and having to apprehend the criminals in the act of or be able to catch them before they get away. The problem with that is it's funding and the tweaks and how this technology works, and will it affect us just, you know, as African Americans? Will it be something like Big Brother? Are we going to be able to utilize it just for what it states is for? And that's, like I said, spotting gunfire in neighborhoods where crime is taking place and being able to apprehend the suspects in the nick of time. So we want to make sure that when we're talking about, you know, issues when it comes to technology and we want to put all this technology in our neighborhood, we have to make sure that it's, first of all, safe for us and that our privacy will not be interrupted by a lot of this technology. And so, you know, we want to make sure that when city council do make a decision on it, it's running a ticket of about $8 million. They did approve it for the $1.7 million. I think it was a renewal for the other technology they have in place, but ShotSpotter, is one of those high-tech ones that has been proven to in two cities, in two neighborhoods, which I think was District 7 and District 8, to have been able to apprehend suspects doing the crime with weapons. So hopefully we'll be able to get, you know, everybody on board with city council, and they will allow this, you know, technology to be in our neighborhoods. But let's first try to figure out if it's going to be something that's not going to interrupt our privacy as citizens. There's a $45 million roof repair application going out for the city of Detroit. So anyone who wants to get their roof repaired, new home applications for the city of Detroit, the second phase of the $45 million program has started on yesterday. The program will fix about 2,000 roofs, and it is expected to fix its first 200 roofs this fall. The first repairs began last week after the Detroit City Council approved $2.9 million this summer for four sets of houses, and to begin the process. The work is expected to go through 2024, and round one repairs will go into 2026 for applicants who want to apply. If you want to get in on this and you're a Detroiter, you want to get in on this and you have roofing problems, please go to www.detroitmich.gov/renewDetroit. That information website again is www.detroitmich.gov/renewDetroit. applicants will be completed, can be completed by phone as well by calling 313-244-0274. And the time that you can make these calls are from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday starting in October, which is this month. Also, Detroit Police Department has reached an agreement to increase the pay for our Detroit police officers. This is a historic move for the city of Detroit. They will begin getting their first pay, round of pay, I think it's a 30% pay increase for police officers coming out the academy who were coming out, I think, at $45,000 or $43,000 will now come out making $40,000, $53,000 coming out of the academy. And lieutenants and sergeants will increase their pay almost to a six-figure payout. And it starts in the increments of the 30% will start taking place. Let me see. I think that was going to be, if I can get me grab my paper, oh, my goodness, where did my information go? But to know that this is a historical move and they will be getting this money definitely makes me feel good because they deserve it. You know, we have officers out here putting their lives on the line every day, and this increase in pay will definitely feel good to those officers, and they will feel respected. And, you know, also, you know, it just makes sense to have our officers top paid. So Detroit Mayor Mary Duggan, James White, spoke with union representatives on Friday. They landmarked this agreement to be reached and make base pay for officers competitive with other departments in the area. So thank you, Detroit Mayor Duggan, and thank you, Chief James White, for uplifting our police officers that do the work every day with their life on the line. And so now I'm going to go to my Sunday morning team. I think I said a mouthful. I'm going to start with you, Bishop Kathy. What's going on with you today? I know you were talking about mental health. So what else is going on with you?
Well, I'm going to tell Mike, I'm only going to listen that you started off with me first. And I know he laughed because that means if you started off with me first, y'all got plans for me. Yeah, y'all got plans for me. Don't do this to me today. Don't you do this to me today, you hear me?
I'm going to start it back off with you because you were doing your thing and it was sounding good. And I'm like, you know what, I'm going to let Kathy finish taking us into the next conversation.
You know, I want to just say this, that today is the day that the Lord has made, that we all to rejoice and be glad in it. And that's stepping aside from whatever issues that we may have. I just wanted to just say this, if I could, that I just thank God for another day because he has given us a purpose anyway. You hear me? In spite of what we
Amen.
Went through yesterday,
Amen.
God has
Amen.
Gotten us up today. And if God get you up another day, it's because
Amen.
He has a purpose in our lives for this. I wish I had a little more help on here.
Amen.
He has a purpose
Amen.
In our
Amen.
Lives for this day. So if we
Amen.
Wanna focus in on anything, you say, greater is he that is in you than he that is of this world. Anything that's affecting your life, anything that's in your life, anything that's around your life, listen, stand on God's word. Stand on what God has said. And he said, Lo, mm-hmm. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you, even to the end
Amen.
Of time. If God
Amen.
Is the driver of the car, and the car is going into a direction where it should not be going, then you got to look at your position. You can't move God.
Amen.
You got to keep letting God drive. You hear me? When,
That's right.
So I just wanted to share that snippet, but to add briefly about the mental health, folks should ask themselves, are they being treated for their issues? Or are they just being benefited off of because they have been classified with those issues? That's
mm-hmm.
a key thing. That's a key
Absolutely.
Thing because you can get folks. No one really looks into the curing part of these of mental health because there no
mm-hmm.
one says that there is not a cure. But so you have to be able to categorize yourself and say, which category am I in? Am I in the economical part? economical part of this thing, or am I in it because I really have some bona fide issues and I need this help? And that's one of the reasons why I believe, though, telling the whole team is that, and the city, is that I believe that economics plays so much into the treatment of mental health that a lot of people have been miscategorized, not misdiagnosed, but miscategorized when it comes to mental health. And they do it because in certain areas, well, bipolar, you get a little more. Schizophrenic,
right.
You get a little more. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
We must, yeah, we should define. We should define and know which category of this thing are we looking to help someone
Absolutely.
In. And that's why it's important. That's why it's so
Absolutely.
Important. So I just wanted to share that with you, man. Keep your head up, man. Keep your head
Amen.
Up and don't let a category that you've been placed in based on what you've gone through in your life,
mm-hmm.
do not allow that to define you for who you are. That's
right.
not who you are.
Right.
Bipolar
That's
is
right.
not who you are. Schizophrenic is not who you are. Depression is not who you are. We have to stop
Amen.
Defining ourselves with a category. You could have a Cadillac, but Cadillac is not who you are. You could have a Benz,
That's
but
right.
a Benz is, I wish I had a little more help on here.
Amen.
But a Benz is
you
not
Amen.
Who
Amen.
You
Amen.
Are.
Amen.
You can have money. You can have money, but money don't make you who you are.
That's
that
right.
So I just
true.
Wanted to share
and
that
so
with y'all. God bless you.
Thank you, Bishop. Amen. You know what? You hit the nail on the head with this topic because there's so many discriminatorial titles that come with mental health. And a lot of people are being pushed out of, let's say, a lot of things in life that they would want to, you know, want to be. But once a person find out about your mental history, it kind of put a, it actually puts a cloud over the individuals who's dealing with this every
yes.
day, which it enhances, it
yes.
just kind of deepens the,
yes.
The issue itself because people now feel like they're yes. not normal. I mean, we know they're not, they don't have a
yes.
lot of, there are things going on, but again, it doesn't defy them as a person. So you definitely
Absolutely.
Have nailed some great pinpoints when it comes to mental health. And there's a lot that needs to be, a lot more conversation needs to be had on it, and a lot of more resources
yes.
need to be poured into it. So thank you so much
yes.
for
yes.
Bringing that and uplifting that for us this morning. I want to go
yes.
now to Bishop, I'm sorry, Reverend Randall Smith. I know he's joining us this morning. Reverend Smith, what's been
prophet,
going on with you?
Prophet, Arch,
no
prophet Archbishop. Prophet Archbishop.
Confidant.
Wow.
Look, he done started making music and got him on the highlights and went to Hollywood on us, and now we don't see him no more. He got to bring us up to speed
right.
on what's going on with his music and what's going on with his ministry. We miss you. So, you know, bring us up to speed about what's going on with you in your life, Reverend Smith.
Well, I'm getting ready to get married soon.
Congratulations.
She's sweetheart. She told me, you know, I'm in love with you. And I said, well, all right, that was this girl won't. Well, anyway, we're relaunching our label, and it's we're connecting with the likes of Juno Washington and Brian Spears.
Mm-hmm.
So the company's going to be in Southfield. Right there at that anointed prophet, Reverend Mike Van Tool's office. Cause, yeah, the
okay.
Lord opened up a big door. But anyway,
right.
we're buying our own office building.
Congratulations.
And so
congratulations.
I was trying to run away from pastoring the church, but that ain't working, so I got to still pastor both churches for a season. But my main baby is winning Southfield. So we're moving on. But the main
wait. Let me interject right quick. Hold on. Wait. No, sir. No. I'ma just throw this at him. I'm gonna say this to him right quick. The Bible says in all things we should always put God first. So I wanna just shout out and say thank God, because I remember a while ago you were saying that you wanted a wife. You want God, send me, get me. You see what I'm saying? See, in and out of season. So because you said that, look at what God is doing for you, man. Look at what God is doing for you. You about to get in there.
Absolutely. You know, this is Guest Radio. Congratulations to you. I'm so happy for you. But listen, everyone, we're going to take a quick station break, and then we're going to come back with some more news on rapper Coolio, who's passed away at the age of 59.
Wow.
And then we're going to get into some weather with our amazing weather girl, Miss Kimberly Batchelor Davis. So go grab you some tea or some coffee and join us back here in right after this station break.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Then make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. With Johnny Hawkins, a nationally recognized super lawyer, he cares, and his primary focus is on providing exceptional service to each client, and not just winning big. For your free telephone consultation with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. Again, that's 248-567-9990. Support Black excellence by allowing Black excellence to support you through service.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. And now, back to The Michael Van Tol Show, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Call 331-248-7120.
Everybody, I just need to take a quick station break, and I wanted us to kind of reconvene this morning. Kimberly, can you give us the weather, and then we're going to get into rapper Coolio, who we all know as one of the 90s and late 80s, early 90s, 2000 gangster rapper, passed away this week at the age of 59, and I will get into details about his death. But first, I want to bring some good news. Kimberly, give us some weather and tell us a feel-good story this morning.
So good morning. It is currently 55. Today, the sun is actually shining outside of my office window. I can see it. It's beautiful. Today will be mostly sunny with a high of 65 and a low of 42. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 64 and a low of 41. On Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high of 69 and a low of 46. On Wednesday, the sun continues, mostly sunny with a high of 72, and with a low of 51. Amen.
Oh, nice.
Because
amen.
On Thursday, there's going to be a change. Thursdays, expect scattered showers with a high of 65 and a low of 40. On Friday, it'll be partly cloudy, and we will only reach a high of 54. We are in fall, guys. And the low will be 35.
She ain't got no help over here today, y'all. I'm letting y'all know right
now.
Meteorologist is by herself.
Look, that's a turn on your heat weather right there, like for real. I was trying to wait till November to do it, but let me be clear, guys. I can't wait till November. I can't do that. I got to put some heat, knock that chill off. Let it run for a couple hours, and then I might cut it back off or turn it down to like 71 or 72. But right now I have my thermostat set at a nice, comfortable 74. So
my heat been on since the weather was at 60.
You know what that is.
And guys, on Saturday it's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 53 and a low of 40. So we are definitely in the downturn in terms of temperatures.
Yes.
So, yes, it is time to turn your heat on. If you haven't turned your heat on, I have also turned my heat on. It was cold. If you want to wait until it's October now, if you want to wait until November, be my guest. However, it's getting colder.
Right.
So pull those jackets and scarves and coats out. It falls
absolutely.
Long, John.
And you know what? It's funny you said that, Pat, because I looked in my dresser drawer just yesterday, and I said, oh, I got three new packs of long johns with the tops that match. Oh, yeah, I'm about to put these on. Because, you know, I'm out in the community all the time, and it gets cold, and I'm like, okay, I don't want to have to layer up. So when I'm putting on, like, some jeans or maybe some leggings, I can put those on the front of that, especially as the evening comes about and we're still out there. It gets cooler. You know, you get a little bit bit of that sunshine during the day, so you're okay. But I'm going to prepare myself. So when you say a long john, I got them on standby. They waiting and they ready. Yeah. So let's get it.
That's right.
I wear them in the summertime. Don't play with me. I wear them in
the
summertime.
You say
you wear them in the summertime? Oh, yeah. Kevin, don't throw no bricks.
Is that
That's
what that
you,
is?
Captain.
Oh, my God. Kevin, let's get a feel good story from you. Then I'm going to get into it.
Okay. So I do have a feel-good story. I want to give a scripture before I give my feel-good
story.
Come on,
Ribbon.
And the title of my feel-good story is called New Poll Reveals the Secret to Happiness is Practicing Gratitude. Bishop Kathy this morning started our conversation off about mental health and wellness, which I talk about on my show. He talks about in his program for suicide prevention and rehabilitation. 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 3, it says, although we live in the world, we don't fight our battles with human methods. Our weapons that we fight with aren't human, but instead they are powered by God for the destruction of fortresses. They destroy arguments and every defense that is raised up to oppose the knowledge of God. They capture every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Again, it is, what are you thinking about? The random double opt-in survey of 2,000 Americans looked at the potential connection between gratitude and happiness, revealing that 65% of respondents who report that they're very happy on a daily basis were more likely to always give thanks. While looking at the correlation between life satisfaction and gratitude, one-third of respondents said they always express gratitude in their everyday lives. Of those, 62% noted they were very satisfied with their lives. Conducted by One Poll on behalf of Motivosity, the survey also found that on average, respondents believe they express gratitude to others about 6 times a month, and they receive the same amount of appreciation back. Regionally, residents in the Southwest at 75%, residents in the Northeast at 74%, and Midwest at 73% were more likely to express gratitude than others surveyed in the country, followed by the Southeast, which was 68%, and West Coast residents were 63%. There's a dramatic correlation between gratitude and happiness, said Logan Mallory, Vice President and Marketing at Motivosity. While people are proactive about being grateful, it rewires their brain to look for positives instead of the negatives around them. Previous studies and these survey results tell us that if you want to experience an increase in life satisfaction, just express gratitude more often. Respondents said they receive the most gratitude from their spouses or partners at 28%, family members at 26%, friends at 24%, bosses at 17%, and coworkers at 15%, which trail further down the list. With bosses and coworkers low on the list to show gratitude, perhaps it's not surprising that only 18% of employee respondents feel appreciated at work. Even those who are very satisfied with their lives feel twice more recognition at home than at their jobs, which is 46% versus 24%. Public acknowledgement has a massive impact on making people genuinely feel that their day-to-day efforts make a difference because feeling appreciated improves life quality. So here are the top ways that you can practice gratitude. Higher levels of positive emotions, more joy and pleasure, more optimism and happiness, being more helpful, generous, compassionate and forgiving, and feeling less lonely and isolated.
You know what, Kimberly, you have hit the nail on the head with that, and I have been talking with some coworkers and just people in general who are now back out into the workforce. They're not at home anymore, and then you still have some that are home. Mm-hmm. They seem to be a little bit more happier, people working from home and less stressed than us who was back out in the field. So that resonates with me because when I was working from home, I can actually say I felt less stressed, and I felt more appreciated just being in that that environment. But now that I'm back out in the field and I'm back out at the offices and I got the ripping and the running to do and I got deadlines to meet, and, you know, it's like it definitely has brought a different level of stress for me. I'm starting to feel some of that stress of trying to meet all these demands. So, you know, mm-hmm. I really think that, you know, there needs to be more surveys put into, like you just done, on people who can say, I rather work this way. I think we should all have a choice of that. And some of us still do, but a lot of us are mandated to go back. And I think our stress levels, and I know for me, has increased since I have been mandated to come back out in the field. Because, again, I have had two COVID scares while I'm out in the field. And that is, like, really my anxiety levels are up again. As opposed to when I was working at home, I was in my safe environment, and I felt like, okay, I'm okay. I can do this job efficiently, quick, you know, with ease. I feel good about it because I felt safer health-wise. Now I'm starting to get that those jitters again, and yeah, I'm not liking it. So, but you mm-hmm. definitely, I like this story because it definitely resonates with me and a lot of other people that we are out now. We're back out in the workforce again with COVID still lurking around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I agree with you.
Yep. So, but let's talk about rapper Coolio. Now, most of us know him by the gangster rapper music and rap. Coolio was declared dead in 1959. According to his manager, who talked to TMZ, the famed rapper, whose name is actually Aris Leon Ivy, and his last name is spelled exactly like mine, so I got to check out if he's in kin to me. Because his last name is spelled Ivey, so I'm like, wait a minute, that's kind of rare. And the funny part about that, when I looked at Coolio's face, I'm like, he looks like my grandfather's brother. Like, he really do.
Wow.
He has that Ivy. See, he has those Ivy features, and that's, you know, mm-hmm. Ivy is a last name that's not very popular, but it's out there. And as I looked at him again, I'm like, he got to be some king because he got the same features as my grandfather and his brothers. So moving forward, he was at a friend's house when he went into the restroom. When Coolio did not come out of the restroom, his companion called him before entering and finding him swirled on the floor. They immediately summoned for EMTs to come, and he was proclaimed dead from the EMTs when they arrived. It seems like he died from a heart attack, but the official cause of death has not yet been determined, and it is said that the paramedics tried to revive him for 45 minutes before pronouncing him dead. They clearly saw that there was no functioning going on, but they worked very hard to try to see maybe, hey, he may be down, his vitals may be down, but let's work on him, because sometimes a person can have a heart attack, and if you revive them, you can get that heart pumping again. And for 45 minutes, that means they really, really were determined to try to give him a second chance at life. And according to law enforcement, there was a law enforcement officers, no narcotics or pill familiar was discovered at the site. However, he is known to have had a serious drug addiction in the past. So, rest in peace, Coolio, Mr. Ivy. You know, it's really strange how a lot of people are passing away.
Somebody should be showing their background.
Yeah,
somebody should be their background.
You see him leaving out here?
Yeah. I think that may be Randall.
Yeah, you might have to credit him or something.
Okay, so I just put him on mute, so that way we get a clear.
Yes.
It's very scary now when you're finding that, you know, a lot of entertainers, as they got older, and, you know, when you're younger, you're out there in that lifestyle. It's Hollywood. You're doing your thing. You know, you're into that in crowd, and that in crowd can bring a lot of things that our bodies will pay for later. However,
right.
As we age and we live those fast lifestyles, particularly entertainers, they stop at a certain point and then their body just gives out because of the usage, hard drug or alcohol usage in their younger years. I am one who believes that take care of yourself early and your body will take care of you later. Now, I'm not saying that's his cause, but I feel like it might be a contributor to his death because he probably said, okay, I'm going to clean myself up and did it. But because he may have ravaged his body with strong, you know, narcotics or whatever it was he was addicted to, you know, after a while, their inside becomes older than the outside when it comes to heavy drug use. So, you know, I just feel bad because when a person gets to that point in life and it's like, yeah, I'm ready to clean up now, it's like that life expectancy is cut very short, and he was only 59, so that's still kind of young. So, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, that hit me like, wow, you know, it just, I just say as a person, and I'm not saying being healthy, you know, will take you, will promise you longevity, but it definitely helps when you're talking about as we age. As we age, our body definitely starts decreasing, cellular rebuild, and our organs, you know, age out. Everything ages out as we get older. So it is definitely a benefit to try to do something, you know, in our younger years or in our latter adult years to try to keep ourselves healthy so that we can probably live a little bit longer and enjoy life a little bit more when we choose to. Any feedback on this, guys? What do you guys think?
Well, for me, he is part of my generation. He was part of the music soundtrack that I listened to growing up in the 80s and 90s. And it's very sad to see someone as young as him to pass away. Henrietta, you mm-hmm. said earlier that money doesn't make you. That just because you have it, it's not mm-hmm. representative of you. And I think so mm-hmm. many times people think that entertainers, high-profile people, they make a lot of money. They think, oh, they're living a great life. Many of them have very self-destructive behaviors, such as drugs, alcohol, or other things. And these mm-hmm. things take away from your life. And mm-hmm. we're seeing an example of this. And when we look at a lot of what has been dubbed as Generation X, because that's my generation, there have been a lot of hip-hop artists who have literally just dropped dead because they've had a heart mm-hmm. attack. And mm-hmm. it's been bad health. And men mm-hmm. as a whole, please go to the doctor. I know you don't want to go to the doctor, mm-hmm. but you have all kinds of health issues. And you can't wait until it's convenient, because it's never convenient to go mm-hmm. to the doctor. And many times, if you at least will go and check something out, maybe you can stop it before it gets to the point where it takes you out of here.
Yep. And that is the scary part, because men don't believe in going to the doctor. My son is 36 years old, and I think the last time he went to the doctor is when I took him at 15. And mm-hmm. I think, And I think it may have been a little bit older. I think the last time he actually physically went to the doctor was at 22, and that's because he was experiencing some really bad back pain, which it was so bad that it would have him bent over in a fetal position, and he couldn't even walk straight up for about 2 months because of the pain. He
wow.
literally walked like he was walking like a 90-year-old man. And so we ended up in the emergency room with him and found that, I think they said he had psoriatic muscle disorder, something dealing with the muscles in his lower lumbar of his back. And that was the only time he went. I think he went a few other times after that. My son is now 36 years old, and I'm always on his head like, son, you need to go get an annual physical. And men are really tough about it. They are steadfast about it. I'm not
yeah.
going to the doctor. I'm fine. I'm not sick. I'm not going to have nobody, you know. And it's like, please, particularly our African-American men, go to the doctor, because these can
yeah.
be happening in your body that you don't know that's happening, and by the time you find out about it, it's at certain stages where they can't do anything for you. So I am with
that's
you,
right.
Kim. I think that going to the doctor, black men, please go, because we need our
mm-hmm.
fathers, our brothers and uncles and grandfathers to be around a very long time. So get out of that stuff and
right.
black men and go to the doctor.
Go ahead,
I may,
Bishop. I was waiting for you to jump in.
I know, right? I had my hand up. You ever had your hand up and you realize couldn't nobody see you?
You're right, right.
I'm like, hey, my hand right here. And I'm like, oh, I'm not even in class. But let me say something. You are so right. You are so right when it comes to we need all of us men. We need all of us men. We need all of us men
mm-hmm.
to be healthy. One of the
mm-hmm.
things I'm going to say to you, a lot of people ask, and it's going to be a PowerPoint right here. A lot of people ask, what can curb violence? What could curb individuals? What could prevent individuals from committing crimes and all that? I'm going to tell you real quick. You need these aunties and these uncles to step up. The reason why in every family, you got an auntie or an uncle that don't nobody play with. It don't matter. In every family, it's an auntie or uncle. When they come around, everybody gets straight. See, a lot of times with the mothers, are they trying and can't do it. The fathers, a lot of us don't have grandparents no more. Now it's time for the aunties and the uncles to step up and pave the way. So I just wanted to add that. I just wanted to add that.
And you're absolutely right. We got to get back community. I mean, the Bible talks about it. We're supposed, the elders are supposed to teach the younger ones. And we have got to learn from that. And so when we talk about technology,
I'm just being greedy. Go ahead.
Go back to what Henrietta said about the shot technology, the shot detection technology. We have to pay $8 million for shot technology because we won't talk about what's happening in our community. Yet we want to go and complain. It doesn't. It never ends. You can go to the police and say, "Well, y'all should do something." They said, "But we don't live here. You live here. Why aren't you checking with JoJo or Ray Ray down the street to see what they're doing?" And JoJo and Ray Ray aren't bad. JoJo and Ray Ray just don't have any direction. And if an uncle or an auntie or a mama or a daddy or a grandma or granddad or somebody will step up. And we could transform this city block, block, block.
Absolutely. And it don't take long.
Now, that, I guess that definitely can happen. The more people to get out the mentality of snitching and telling on somebody, and I'm not sending my child to jail, or I'm not going to talk about. Let me be real clear. I'm a parent, and I love my, and anybody who know me, and I know we have like 2 minutes, I'm going to try to speed this up. I feel like if you know somebody is doing something wrong, you say something. You cannot grow and protect communities and the black community when you are hiding.
That's right.
And you know they are out doing criminal acts, and they're out there being a threat to life and everybody's life in our community. So when we get the shot spotters, it's just going to only enhance the fact that if you know that somebody has done something, help us out. Maybe we wouldn't need all this overseeing and oversight and all this other stuff if we would learn to open our mouths and protect our communities. When you go in other communities and other neighborhoods, they're gonna tell because they want safe communities.
Yes.
So I just feel like we need to continue being able to be a steadfast and being the leaders, the aunties, the uncles, the grandparents, the neighbors that I grew up with. You couldn't nothing and not get away with it. It just wasn't happening.
That's right.
I don't know what this new ideology is. I'm not talking, I'm not snitching, I'm not telling mentality come from, but I can tell you this, and we have like 1 minute to go. It is hurting our communities, and we need to eliminate that mentality and start bringing about the team, which is the uncles, the aunts, the grandparents, and letting this younger generation understand you do not run these communities. We do, and guess what?
That's right.
You're gonna get sought after. If I catch you doing something, I'm telling on you, and that's just the bottom line. If you retaliate, then God's going to retaliate on you. We got to put fear back into these children in this current environment because they have lost fear and respect for adults. And they have.
Yes,
and so if we can bring all that back, and, you know, sometimes we may need that little extra push like a shot spotter, that's fine. But please understand, we will inform our law enforcement about who's doing what, where they at, and please go get them so I can sit on my front porch because I'm tired of running in the house watching young folks chase each other with guns and shooting at each other. And bullets have no
name.
So that bullet you shoot at somebody can hit my neighbor, can hit me, can hit my grandchild running down the street playing. We don't need any more tragedies like that in our community because we see something and we don't want to say anything. I'm a person that if I see it, I'm telling it. That's just how I'm built.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, guys, it's 10:01, and this has been an amazing show. although we got started, you know, with a little technical difficulties, thank you, Kimberly. Thank you, Bishop Kathy, for carrying this show until I was able to get in. I appreciate you guys. You are an amazing team. Thank you, Michael Van Tool, for entrusting me to sit in for you this morning. I pray that I did you a great service, and I made you proud of me this morning. But this is the end of the Michael Van Tool Show. Thank you, everyone, to the Sunday morning team, to all our listening audience. Thank you, Reverend Randall Smith, for joining in as our Sunday morning team member at large. We appreciate you. And, again, congratulations on the wedding and your next move into your new music industry. We definitely are very proud of you. Everyone have an amazing Sunday. We're going to get out here and try to get some of the sun while it's still up because Kimberly gave us these cold days. So let's get out here and try to enjoy a little bit more of this teeny-weeny bit of summer.
She ain't got no help on here today.
And God bless you, Henrietta. Thank you for hosting.
God bless you all.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Love you all, family. Well, we got to get together next. We got to get together soon.
You've been listening to the Michael Van Tool Show, brought to you in part by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. Build your customer base now. And the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call Johnny Hawkins, the personal injury expert, today at 248-567-9990. Thank you for listening. Everything is gonna be all right. Hold your head up high.